Hello and welcome to the Gilmore Ball Z bonus episode. Because of your generous contributions to the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund, today we're watching the Dragon Ball Z special, History of Trunks.
What was that?
Well, you're about to tell us, because I'm Grant.
I'm Paige.
And Paige, why don't you tell us what happened in the Dragon Ball Z special, History of Trunks?
Exactly what you'd think would happen from what we saw in the show!
Yes.
It's the, you know, the alternate future where everyone has died except, like, Bulma and Roshi and Trunks and Gohan and Chi-Chi and the Ox King. And basically every animal character on this show. Trunks is growing up in this unjust world where everything is awful. And so one day he approaches Gohan and says, "Hey, Gohan, I don't like the androids. I want to beat them up some." And Gohan's like, "Yeah, that sounds about right," and starts training him. So after like a week of training and Trunks not going Super Saiyan, they fight the androids and lose. Gohan loses an arm. Bulma kind of knows this whole thing is going on, but doesn't condone it. She doesn't go full Chi-Chi, but she's like, "Guys, this isn't a coincidence. I'm not stupid." Like, Trunks almost died out there, and he ate a senzu bean because Gohan gave it to him, but Gohan lost an arm. So Gohan decides to go out again and fight the androids, who are all murderous now because they have nothing better in their lives. And they kill him. And then the wacky womp womp music tells us that it's time for a commercial break.
Yeah, it's so great. So the commercial break, like, cards in between commercial breaks in this special is just, like, little chibi heads of Gohan and Trunks, but it's, like,
baby
kid Gohan and baby Trunks. And it's just this little, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do music, which is so great because it legit, like, after, like, Gohan dies and people who are, you know, fans of Dragon Ball Z know that there is this scene of, like, Trunks walking through the wreckage in the rain, and he stumbles on Gohan's body, and he just starts screaming and crying and shouting about how it's all so unfair, and, like, it's the most emotionally effective part of the entire special.
Yeah, mostly it's not.
And, you know, and he that's when he becomes Super Saiyan. So
because the grief and the anger. And
it's this relatively iconic part of the show of Trunks Super Saiyan over Gohan's dead body in the rain, just screaming. And then he brings both his hands down and he smashes the pavement and, like, breaks an entire city block.
Yeah.
And so it's like this really dark, somber moment. And then it just cuts to, like,
with a little tiny chibi
crying Trunks. It was pretty great. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, Bulma, who has not been sitting around this whole time, she's been building a time machine, apparently, as we're introduced to this when the time machine is already done.
Well, there is a scene where you can see her, like, working on the computer.
That's true.
And stuff. Like, if you look for it, you can see her working on it in the background throughout the special.
When you're not looking for it, though, it's like, I mean, obviously we knew she had a time machine, that's how this all works, but when you're not looking for it, it's kind of out of left field, like, "Honey, we got a time machine!
I built a time machine!
You should go with me back in this time machine." And Trunks is like, "Why do we need dead people from the past? I trained with Gohan for like a week. And then I went Super Saiyan. So I'm going to go and try to kill this, like, androids," which he wasn't able to do, but I think I could do because I'm Trunks. And
he is Vegeta's son.
He is Vegeta's son. And at this point, he has a sword that he doesn't have before. He has the Trunks sword that appeared out of absolutely nowhere. Like, did Gohan have it? Did I miss that?
Well, 3 years passed between Gohan's death and Trunks.
That was not at all clear.
Well, the narrator said 3 years later.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, no. So, like, in that 3 year time skip, he got his hands on a sword.
Sure. I'll have more questions about that later. He tries to fight the androids. He loses very bitterly.
Very badly. They pinball him all around the city.
And he's not able to make a scratch, so he goes home and he's like, "Okay, Mom, I'll get in your time machine." And that's the end of the series, or the special, because obviously he goes back and he goes into main Dragon Ball timeline.
Yeah, those are the broad strokes.
There's not much happens in this one, honestly. It's mostly just fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is Dragon Ball in general, but I'm going over it quickly, partially just because I have so many questions.
Okay, let's dig into your question. Well, do you want to talk about what you thought, or do you want to just jump into your questions?
What I thought is going to disappoint so many fans of this special. I was so bored.
You were bored?
I was so bored. I knew everything that was going to happen.
There are no surprises in History of Trunks. There are
absolutely no surprises in History of Trunks. Bardock managed to make it an interesting arc, even though we know at the end the planet's going to explode and Bardock's going to die. There are some surprises along the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like, let's go through all the paces of Gohan dying, Trunks getting mentored and then not being able to defeat the androids, Trunks taking the time machine. And that's, I didn't learn anything about Trunks. I didn't really learn anything about the future. I just saw that the androids were more horrible in that future, which is also not surprising. And it was just not, that scene was nice,
mm-hmm.
but the music was so distractingly bad for, like no offense to Dream Theater fans in the audience, because a lot of this soundtrack was weirdly Dream Theater. It just didn't fit, and it felt overwrought, and it was painful.
I think we've discussed this before. Maybe we haven't, but I'm pretty sure we've discussed this before, that, yeah, the...
We did in Bardock.
Yeah, that's an artifact of the original American dub, is they felt the need to replace all the music, because they thought the Japanese music wouldn't play with American audiences, and so they injected a lot of just popular American music into it, and... This one isn't as egregious as some of the other movies are, but there were definitely a couple bits, like, specifically when the androids are just beating the shit out of Trunks at the end,
yeah.
And there's, like, some kind of distorted 90s rap happening in the background.
Well, the other
was really jarring.
It's just a lot of, like, I grew up listening to a lot of Christian music in the 90s, and from that I can tell you that some of it is good, but there was also really bad stuff. I still love it, but there's one Christmas album specifically that I'm thinking of that had raps about how you can't spell Christmas without Christ, and it reminded me of those. Like, it was that same quality of music, except instead of being about Jesus, it was about being a, like, edgy 90s kid. Like, I grew up assuming that other kids were listening to better music than me.
Oh, you were wrong.
And I was wrong. Like,
you were wrong. Some of us were listening to Kid Rock in the 90s.
I know. But, like, I just always kind of assume that Christian music is usually, like, mainstream Christian music is usually about 5 to 10 years behind.
That's fair.
But no, apparently it was right on
schedule. In this particular case, they lined up. Yeah, no, the music definitely was really jarring throughout this special.
And the other thing that was really jarring, and I know this is coming from watching Kai, is specifically the voice acting. It's just hard to get through.
There were a couple reads that were, yeah.
There were more than a couple reads. Most of the, like, weirdly, and, you know, I don't know if it's budget or just him getting more experience, but Chris Sabat, who's Vegeta, the voice of Vegeta, is also the ADR director for both this and Kai, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And Kai is so much better directed. Like,
mm-hmm.
These are just painful. Like,
the androids are very flat.
I wonder
how intentional that is, though.
Yeah, I was also wondering that was one of the questions I had, is if that was just normal for them in that dub. But even that, Bulma sounded incredibly vapid. Bulma is usually a princess, but she's usually not vapid.
Mm-hmm.
And she just sounded boring and clueless. The emotional reads are weird. Chi-Chi was trying to be tragic, but was just kind of,
yeah, she's only in the one scene.
Nobody felt compelling based on their voice.
And this had the same thing that we had with Bardock, where they couldn't swear.
Yeah.
So he's like, darn those androids!
I love how the androids can completely, like, blow up city blocks and murder civilians and children, and then they're like, heck yes!
Oh my gosh!
Darn
the devastation! Yeah, there's definitely those, it's definitely an artifact of its time in that regard.
And it's funny just that I understand not wanting to swear in a kid's show. I mean, I would question having that much murder in a kid's show, but, you know, American values. But my real confusion is that they don't find lines around it.
Yeah, they don't work around it.
Instead of, like, the devastation.
Yeah, or it's like, this is horrible. They still just say, darn them.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
So the tone was all over the place, so I can't... I was excited to get more Trunks.
Mm-hmm.
But Trunks himself wasn't that interesting of a character in this.
he was kind of a little whiny brat in this.
More than a whiny brat, he was just like... He was stupid.
Mm-hmm. He was a stupid kid.
He was a stupid kid, but he, like, I don't get the same feeling off of him that you get when he walks onto the screen in Z, where he's, you know, hardcore. And they could have done a really good job of, like, building it up from he's, like, a little pipsqueak kid to, like, he's the guy who we're all watching. And I think they were trying to do it, but they really didn't. He just kind of felt stupid and whiny and useless the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, it's...
I wanted more, but I didn't get it.
This is definitely a compelling argument for the idea that not everything needs a prequel.
Yeah.
Because I will say that I think the action in this special was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Like, there was some good fighting, there was some interesting set pieces. Like, the action...
Having the androids go through a theme park was fun. I said the same thing about Cell, so it's a little bit of a repeat, but, you know.
A little bit, but...
I'll take... blowing things up on a roller coaster anytime.
Yeah, like, the fights were interesting and dynamic, for the most part weren't just so, like, the action in this special is pretty good. Like, it's some pretty high-quality Dragon Ball action. But storyline-wise, yeah, like, we didn't learn anything new, and it's definitely... It's definitely the thing that I think of whenever anybody says that they want, like, a prequel to something.
Uh-huh.
Like... In the Naruto fan base, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I want a prequel about Itachi. And it's like, no, you don't, because we got a prequel about Itachi. It was in Naruto. Like, we saw pretty much all of Itachi's life in Naruto. An Itachi prequel series would literally just be the same stuff that we already learned in the main series. And this is definitely that same case, where, like, a prequel about future Trunks and, like, his journey in his horrible future sounds great on paper.
Yeah.
But when you write it out, you're like, okay, it's literally exactly what we already knew.
I think part of it, though, is that they don't really explore the hideous future. Like, it seems to be, it's really weird. There are less people and they're living in fear. I mean, Roshi is living on a submarine in a scene that pops up and then never is important again, where Roshi's like, no, we're taking the submarine to the surface. And then... it goes nowhere. You don't see him again.
Yeah, because Oolong's like, please don't. And he's like, okay, maybe I won't.
Yeah, what was the point of that? Anyway.
Just to establish that Roshi's still alive and get the winning line of, Roshi, you can't leave us alone. We're just a cat, a turtle, and a pig.
Yeah.
New sitcom.
So there are interesting things to dig into, but the thing is, they don't actually change that much except the fact that the androids keep popping up and killing everybody. They make lip service to the fact that they've just rebuilt the city. So this is a future where they still have time to rebuild cities and are still putting in the effort to rebuild cities in between the androids killing everybody. Like, we get some lip service where we see, like, a destroyed capsule core and things like that, but it doesn't feel that different for a dystopian future where androids keep killing everybody every day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. I mean, there are some prequels that people ask for, and I think the value of them is that you get different stories. One that I always hear people ask for is the Marauders in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's dad and his friends.
And his friends, yeah.
And that I would want, because even though I know where all the Marauders end up, like, I can believe that they had fun, interesting adventures along the way.
And it might be nice to get a version of the story where James Potter isn't just a dick for no reason.
Yes. And that makes sense, but this just... I feel like it's something that should have gotten killed in a pitch meeting after they, like, arced out where the story was going to be and somebody would say, there's nothing there, but really, let's be honest, you know, they knew that they could print money with Trunks' face on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Kids don't notice. And this is, like, the epitome of kids don't notice. People were still putting in the work, as you said, they were putting in good fight scenes, but mm-hmm. This shouldn't have been made.
No, this is money that could have been put toward... a different prequel series that still could have had really good fighting, but actually given us something new, like this Vegeta prequel that I like to talk about, right? Like, that would have been a more interesting thing to do.
Or even, like, I don't know what's going to happen with Dragon Ball. I don't know where, you know, future Trunks is going to end up. But if future Trunks went back with the knowledge he gained from this world and tried to deal with his future, like, that could be interesting. But no, this is...
We will get that.
Okay, we will get that?
Yeah, no, we will get that.
But, like, that's a better candidate for a movie. So I have some questions.
Yeah, give me your questions.
And I've got some questions that aren't even related to this movie, but... And some questions, some thoughts. But there are things that came up while I was watching. One, Goku's thing is always referred to as a heart virus.
Yeah.
This brand new, never before seen heart virus.
Yeah.
Where did it come from and where did it go, Cotton Eye Joe? Like, it's a virus. It should spread. Either that or it's a virus that can only infect Saiyans. So maybe, I guess he got it. My no prize would be he got it in space.
Maybe, but...
And it can only spread to full-blooded Saiyans and somehow Vegeta didn't get it?
The thing, though, is that when Trunks first appeared in the main series, he told Goku, in my future, the disease that killed you has been cured. And that's how he had the thing. It's not like Bulma specifically concocted up an antidote. It's just that in the future, that disease has an antidote.
Yes, but we don't ever see anyone else get it.
Maybe it's just an incredibly rare condition that, you know, so it didn't kill that many people, but they were still able to make a cure for it pretty quickly.
They were all dying from Android? Okay, whatever. Is the reporter an android? Because we see him again here, and he has not aged a day.
You know, maybe he's just Paul Rudd.
Okay.
He just doesn't age. He's like Paul Rudd or Keanu Reeves.
Gotcha. I alluded to this earlier, but why are they bothering restoring these cities?
I think that...
Or, like, why are they rebuilding them exactly as they were?
I think that... The whole element of life carrying on as usual tells us something about how the androids are viewing their rampage. Mm. Because you pointed out in an earlier episode, accurately, that they could destroy the entire planet pretty quickly.
Right.
If Frieza could have destroyed the planet in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And they're way stronger than Frieza.
Yeah.
Like, if they wanted to, they could just wipe out humanity in an afternoon. They could probably just blow up the damn planet. But... they don't want to. They want it to be fun.
Right.
So I think the idea is that their attacks are relatively spaced apart, and it seems like they're at least a little bit careful about how much destruction they cause to let humanity keep rebuilding so that there will always be fun murder time.
I'm confused by them taking time in between. They get bored when they're sitting for 2 hours. Like, they do things like shop for clothes and drive, but it seems like, I know it's because we have time skips, but it seems like they're just addicted to murder sprees.
Yeah, I don't know how the numbers on that would actually work out, but at the very least, the notion we've been given is that they sort of space it out, and so for a lot of people, they could go years on end without ever really seeing the androids.
It is weird because there are people who don't know what the androids look like, and you'd think after the third or fourth city had been destroyed, they would
specifically it was the roller coaster operator who, like, even after 18 turned, he was still giving her sass.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that was all about. Because a lot of other people do seem to recognize the androids immediately.
Well, and they do have, like, television. Like, it's very obvious that in this world, like, things get televised and aired. At one point, Trunks says to Gohan, a line that makes sense in Dragon Ball, but not to normal human beings.
Yeah.
You're half Saiyan like me. You must know how I'm feeling. Angry that humanity's being destroyed? I don't know if you have to be a half Saiyan to understand that.
Well, his immediate follow-up on that line is just like, I can feel the rage burning inside me.
Right.
And there is this notion that Saiyans have this just instinct to fight.
Yeah.
And so then that's what he's talking about, is just that fighting instinct that's like buried deep within his genes that makes him want to do battle and let his rage burst forth.
Right, and they, like, the show acts
in reality, that's not his Saiyan blood, that's his Vegeta blood.
And possibly being 13.
Also being 13.
I don't doubt that Saiyans have a warrior's instinct gene thing as an entire species, sure. But he grew up on stories of, like, Goku and Gohan, but also probably Tien and Yamcha and Piccolo and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't he know that that's not just a Saiyan thing?
I don't know.
Okay. This isn't a question, but it was a revelation. I complained I don't know when this will come up, but at some point I complained about the Ox King and his stupid voice.
Uh-huh.
And I placed it, and I understood why it bothers me so much.
Yeah.
You know, in Aggretsuko...
Oh, he's male Kabai?
Yeah. He's yeah. Male Kabai.
He goes, I remembered to get the honeydew melon and the ketchup and the potatoes for my french fried potatoes. That was definitely a similar read as how Kabai talks.
As the, how Kabai goes through life.
The gossipy hippo.
In Aggretsuko, yeah.
I love her.
When Gohan is training Trunks.
Yeah.
And Trunks is trying to go Super Saiyan for the first time.
Yeah.
Gohan just stands behind a tree and creeps his head out and watches. Trunks knows Gohan is there. Why is Gohan behind a tree?
I feel like Gohan's training regimen with Trunks was actually a fascinating part of the story that I wish we got a little more of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the first thing he does is, like, they spar and then he kicks him into the water and then just stands there and laughs and, like,
He goes into a whirlpool.
And, like, tries to instruct Trunks on how to swim, like, while he's drowning in a whirlpool. And it just... It puts it into stark focus that this is a Gohan that never trained with Goku.
Just with Piccolo.
So, yeah, his only frame of reference for what training is like is Piccolo leaving him out in the wilderness for a year to fend for himself. So he doesn't have the same, like, cynical, brutal, you will survive or die mentality that Piccolo had. Like, he's still a friendly teacher. But it's just as far as he's concerned, this is what teaching is.
Like, near murder.
Yeah, teaching is putting you in near-death situations and expecting you to escape.
The training was weird. It felt like history of Trunks Kai. It felt like a ton of stuff was cut out, but badly. It was just a weirdly paced movie in general.
Yeah, the pacing was incredibly strange.
Like, multiple training montages, but not long?
No, or, like, none of them really gave you new information.
No.
There were just several different scenes of Trunks trying to go Super Saiyan, almost getting there, and then not.
Yeah, that's also a weird thing. Like, apparently the thing standing between him and going Super Saiyan was rage. This is the son of Vegeta and Bulma.
They both have a lot of rage.
His issue?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I know you said that, like, a lot of the line reads that Bulma gave were a little vapid, but I think that Bulma's actual characterization in this is a little different because... All of the, like, boisterous, you know, to use their own term, bossy, like, I'm a delicate flower stuff is all gone.
It's all gone.
And she's still got a little bit of that Bulma attitude, but in general, it's a much more cynical Bulma.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Bulma who says, don't go fight the androids, you can't beat them. Whereas I feel like our Bulma now would, you know, be like, hey, be careful, but she'd cheer him on.
Yeah.
And so it's a different kind of Bulma.
I wish we'd gotten this more competently. This is another thing where I don't think a prequel needed to happen, but if they had done a prequel well, really digging into Bulma would have been interesting, because they don't really dig into Bulma, who was the only one we really see a lot of who was an adult when all this went down. And she knows the full gravity of the situation. Like, Trunks was a baby when the androids first came in. Gohan was like 9, but also he was dealing with the trauma of all of his closest friends and family being killed in a way that he hasn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that would eat up his whole world as a 9-year-old. While Bulma would be seeing it from the perspective of someone, like, everyone she relies on is dying. But at the same time, she's got a baby.
Mm-hmm. And she needs to
prioritize her son in a world that is changing, you'd think, quickly, but apparently not.
It's almost like when there are regular occurrences of some kind of strange violent action happening where a lot of people die, but it's all spread out around the world, and so, you know, it's not necessarily on your front door. It's really easy to pretend it's not happening and just move on with your daily life.
I feel like they were trying to change Bulma, but mm-hmm. didn't.
But, yeah, I wish we'd gotten a little more of that, because it must have been so weird for Trunks
mm-hmm.
to go back and then meet this younger version of his mom, who is
unburdened.
Unburdened, more energetic, more happier, more laid back. Hit on him. But just like, yeah, a more laid back and unburdened version of Bulma when he probably constantly grew up with this eternally stressed woman.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly smart.
Yes.
Incredibly driven, always stressed. I also just questioned that Gohan, when he was teaching Trunks, didn't teach him to be more strategic, and even Gohan, when we see him fighting the androids, wasn't strategic. Like, that's Gohan's strength, even on Namek, that he is thinking in a way that the other Z fighters don't, and it's really frustrating.
I don't know, we did get kind of a cool moment at the beginning of Gohan's second fight with the androids, where he's only got one arm, so he knows he's already at a disadvantage. And so they both are rushing at him, and so he charges up a ki blast, and he throws it at the ground like a smoke bomb.
Yeah.
And he uses that to get away and get the upper hand on them. So there were little moments like that.
A cool moment, though, is, like, it's not the same as, like, he is fighting differently.
You'd think he would use guerrilla tactics when he's outnumbered.
It's really frustrating that the first thing this show throws aside after world building and character development, but when it comes to fighting, is any degree of strategy, because it requires more thought when you're putting together fights. And so often it just gets forgotten completely in Dragon Ball fighting.
It's true.
There's also just... So, Gohan trains Trunks for, like, a few weeks, right?
It's unclear.
It doesn't seem like it's that long.
It doesn't, but, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. It could have been...
They go into one battle against the androids together.
Yeah, it could have been a few weeks. It could have been a few months. It's hard to say.
But still, when he dies, Trunks says, "You were my best friend, and you were everything to me."
To be fair, do we have any indication that there was anybody in his life before this other than his mom?
His mom! Also, like, you'd think...
And the thing is, it's not like he'd only known Gohan for that long. Because when Gohan first shows up, he says, like, "Oh, hey, Gohan, you're here." So, like, he has spent time with Gohan. I'm sure Gohan was around all through his growing up.
I guess.
I mean, like, Gohan even calls him little brother. So yeah. I would imagine it was kind of like his Uncle Gohan showing up.
It didn't feel like that, though. And it just felt like they were trying so hard to make me believe this mattered. Also, Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi was probably a second mom to...
Chi-Chi, yeah. I'm sure he also saw plenty of Chi-Chi.
I know I asked this before, but... Where did Trunks get the sword? One thing I was hoping for out of this movie is that Trunks has this big, magic, hardcore, like, super iconic, even though it's only there for a few episodes, sword. I thought maybe he'd gotten it from somewhere. Cool. Like, I don't know, a weapon master, or Gohan had given it to him, or made it for him, or his mom made it, or something. Roshi made it when he decided to stop being useless for 5 minutes. No one on the show actually can make a sword.
Oh, that would have been dope, though.
Yeah, it would have been dope. Like
Muscle Roshi?
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen Muscle Roshi.
Going on the anvil?
Like, Master Roshi's whole thing is that, like, he All Might's out when he fights.
What?
Yeah, like, that's his thing, is he's like, a little old man, but then when he fights, he turns super, super buff.
What?
Like All Might.
Well, then why is he being useless this entire show?
I mean, by comparison, he's still really weak, right? Like, he can't actually help, but that's just his secret technique, is that when he channels his ki and then becomes, like, super Hulk Hogan Macho Man. I guess that's Randy Savage, but, so that would have been kind of cool to have, like, Roshi Hulk out and then forge the sword.
Yeah, like, maybe I can't fight them, but I can do this.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been cool, but no.
Man, now I'm upset we didn't get that.
Yeah.
You've upset me.
Is projecting your voice an android power? Because in the Trunks android fight, they're like, "You're in the cemetery. You're in the cemetery."
Yeah, that was really
weird.
"You're
in the cemetery." Yeah, it was a weird thing. It was like they were trying to be cool.
Yeah, it was kind of like a "this is your grave," but they kept saying, like, "You're in the cemetery."
This is your cemetery.
This is your cemetery. Like,
so
what?
They're running through the city fighting, and Trunks can't see where the androids are.
Yeah, the androids are messing with his head.
Him, yeah.
I would believe that they've got little built-in speakers. That seems like a thing you'd give an android.
But they don't use it anywhere else.
You know what I mean? Most of the time we've seen them, they've been trying to be low-key because they've been hiding from Cell.
Yeah. I have a couple of Android 18 fashion questions.
Okay.
One, Android 18 loves fashion. We've
this has been
that.
Established.
She loves shopping, and even as an android who basically could take over anything, spends hours looking through clothing shops. Why is she's still wearing the Red Ribbon Army getup through this whole thing that she said she hates years after they took, you know, control of their lives?
Because then they don't need to animate her in a new outfit.
Yeah, that's the answer. I knew that. Can you tell me from a story perspective why this makes sense?
No, you'd think that she would... Yeah, like, we see her walk out with a gigantic pile of clothes. You'd think she would pick out one that, like, she liked, that she felt cute in, that she could still move around in when she wanted to murder a bunch of humans.
Or she doesn't even need to be able to move around in it, really.
No, she doesn't need to, but, you know. I could see her wanting something that she feels comfortable moving around in when she murders humans.
Yeah.
That seems like her kind of concern.
Yeah.
I did actually kind of like that scene where she's trying on a bunch of different clothes, and the guy at the clothing shop is, you know, placating her, like, oh, you look lovely in that, and oh yes, you look radiant, and oh, the, you know, your figure is excellent for these dresses, and blah blah blah, and you know, then he just like, oh, I'm the house, and she leaves with all of them. She's like, good, you just saved your own life. And she leaves, and then 17 is waiting outside, and he's like, oh, how'd it go? She says, yeah, I got a bunch of great stuff. And he said, I had a nice figure. And then 17 just goes and blows up the department store.
Yeah, which, not cool, 17. I did like 18 as a code. Like, she has a code specifically around murder.
Mm-hmm.
When she says she's going to murder you, she will. And if she says she isn't going to murder you, she isn't.
This time.
I have the same code, except it ends with me never murdering anybody. My other question is about her hair.
Okay.
We are specifically told it doesn't grow back.
Yes, Trunks accidentally slices off a couple little strands of it, and she says, hey, that doesn't grow back.
Yes. And this made me think about hair in Dragon Ball in general.
Uh-huh.
In Dragon Ball, most attacks are huge energy beams.
Mm-hmm. And heat-based.
What is hair in the Dragon Ball universe made out of?
I think...
And why isn't everyone walking around like Daenerys Targaryen?
I think there's the general no-prize catch-all implication for hair and clothing and, you know, anything that they're carrying on them that would theoretically be destroyed, is just that when you've powered up and you have your ki, then there's just kind of an incredibly thin film of shield around you.
Okay.
Like, I feel like that makes sense. Like, if the ki that you're charging and the aura you're generating around you makes it so that you don't get bruised when you get punched in the face full force, it would make sense that then that would also mean that your hair doesn't get singed and things like that. And, you know, there's some inconsistencies on whether or not your clothes get beat up or don't, but hair is usually pretty safe. So I'm willing to accept that as a no prize.
Okay.
It's like aura and Ruby, where it's just a skin-tight energy field that protects you.
One last question.
Yeah.
There's a time machine.
Yes.
And Bulma's planning on going into the past because Trunks doesn't want to go.
Yes.
And then Trunks goes.
Yes.
Why doesn't Bulma go too?
There's only one seat in the time machine.
Who built the time machine, Bulma?
Just making it a two-seater would have been a, you know, scientific impossibility at the time.
Sure, okay, why not?
There's an arc in Super where Future Trunks comes back.
Uh-huh.
And they have to help him prevent another horrible future. And so Trunks, Goku, and Vegeta all go to the future in the time machine, and so they have to cram in super tight where they're like practically bursting out of the dome.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know, it can only fit one person.
Cool. Cool.
Maybe transporting more people takes more, like, science juice, and they only have so much?
Oh, you know, the science juice.
Yeah.
I think that's a wrap on History of Trunks.
Well, I actually have a question.
Oh, okay.
That I'm surprised you didn't think of. So, Bulma spent a lot of time building a time machine.
Uh-huh.
Like, many years, because we saw her working on it, theoretically, we saw her looking at blueprints and stuff.
Yeah.
And then after the 3-year time skip, she'd only just finished it.
Right.
And so, she spent a long time on this thing.
Right.
Wouldn't it have been much easier for her to build another spaceship, which we know that she can do in about a month?
Yeah.
And then go on a space journey to find new Namek and use the Namek Dragon Balls
To wish to go into the past?
Or to do something. Like, yeah. To get... Because a large reason why all this is so bad is that the androids targeted Piccolo.
Yeah.
They specifically say Piccolo was the first to die.
Yeah, so they couldn't get the Dragon
Ball. They bull rushed Piccolo and killed him before they could do anything. Like, before anybody could react. And so there were no Dragon Balls. And that is how this all got so bad.
Has Piccolo and Kami merged yet?
No, but remember their lives are time. Yeah. So the same reason why the Dragon Balls went away when Piccolo, when Nappa killed Piccolo.
Right.
So really the smartest thing would have been for them to go straight to the lookout and kill Kami. But anyway, like, so she could go and get more Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
She could have done this years ago. She could have done this. She could have gone on like a space journey with Gohan and baby Trunks.
Yep.
And it could have been like Bulma, Gohan, and Trunks going on a space voyage.
Yep.
Like, that would have been dope. So, yeah, that was interesting to me that Bulma never thought to just, like, go find the Namekians.
Yeah. Actually, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
So, we got my read on it as somebody who hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
But as someone who watched this younger and who loves Trunks.
Yeah.
How did you feel about watching it again?
You know... Everything you are saying is 100% correct.
But.
Really, the thing is just that the action is really cool.
Yeah,
like, I like the action in this. And that's kind of always been my thing, is just that I really like the action in this.
Uh-huh.
Admittedly, it had been a while since I'd watched it. I did not remember it being quite so repetitive and quite so slow.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I remembered the key plot points. I knew that it's nothing that you haven't already learned before.
Yeah.
I remembered the scene of Trunks going Super Saiyan being more emotionally effective than it was. It wasn't, like, ineffective, but it was there.
Yeah.
So, I'll always have a little bit of a soft spot for it because I do love Trunks. But I don't know if it's even in, like, my top three of the Dragon Ball movies.
Yeah.
Especially counting in the newer Dragon Ball movies.
Yes.
But even the old school ones. Like, Cooler was better than this was.
Yes. I'd say even Bardock was better than this was.
I don't know.
It's not...
Here's the thing. This was neutral. Bardock was, I've been possessed by the ghost of a future, like, a psychic alien.
Yes, but at least they went for the walls.
That's
like,
true.
At least they tried something.
I don't know. Bardock was actively stupid, whereas this was just like, it was there.
Bardock was actively stupid. I agree. It is on paper and in practice a worse plot, but it's not a plot I've heard before. Like, at least it's something new, and they tried something. It was stupid, and I didn't like it, but that's better than just like, oh, we trained, and we fight.
And we lose.
Oh, and we lose. Oh, so 3 years, then I train, and I fight, and I lose. Time travel, Mom!
Yeah, really the problem with this story is that by necessity, it has to be a story in which the heroes never win.
And, well, it's not just that they never win, but nothing interesting happens. Like, they're... I learned nothing new about any of the characters except that Bulma got depressed, and that's not really dug into. I don't see any new sides of the characters. I don't see any events that change how I view the story. Like, here it is for the kids in the back.
Pretty much. Also, I have a confession to make.
Mm-hmm.
I find future Bulma more attractive than regular Bulma. I think it's the hair. I realized that today. I'm not sure what that means about me. So I believe that's that. So that's History of Trunks.
Yeah.
You know that now.
I do. You say now, but I already knew all this.
Yeah, you already knew all of this. But thank you all for listening, and if you enjoyed this episode, it was made possible because of the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund. If you're not familiar, it is our GoFundMe that we sponsor for Room to Read, which is a charity that provide support for education for children and especially young girls in developing countries, places where they don't have access to the education that Gohan and Rory both value so highly. So if you go to our WordPress, you can find the link to the Gohan and Rory Book Club Fund, where you can view our current stretch goals and also see what individual goals you can unlock by donating to the GoFundMe. We've done this episode. Next up is going to be us watching Lost Boys, the vampire. It's 1990s or 80s.
80s.
The 1980s.
Young Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes, the 1980s vampire movie classic, which also...
With two Coreys.
Which also has Edward Herrmann, who plays Richard Gilmore on Gilmore Girls, as I understand it, the head of a coven of vampires.
Yep.
And yeah, also a young Kiefer Sutherland, which is going to be interesting for me because I also loved 24 growing up. So I'm going to get me some Kiefer, which will also be good. Yeah, so that'll be next up. And then after that, it'll be time for Dragon Ball Evolution.
Aww.
I know, but it's going to happen. So with that, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next Saturday for our regularly scheduled programming.